Let me first ask you to introduce yourself, both of you.
Clayton Campagnola, a strategic program leader for sustainable agriculture in FAO.
Could you also kindly introduce yourself?
I'm Jamie Morrison, strategic program leader for the Agricultural and Food Systems Program at FAO.
Thank you for your visit to Ghana. This is a series of questions that will be used for several occasions and events. Bruce, your first question.
How can FAO and its partners make agriculture and food systems more attractive to the youth in developing countries, with particular emphasis on Africa? What specific measures could be pursued to enhance agriculture and make it more attractive for the youth to get involved in agriculture and related sciences?
Any of you, Jamie?
Okay, well, I think it's well known that creating jobs for youth, particularly in rural areas, is critical given the high levels of unemployment, the pressure for youth to move to urban areas where that creates increased pressures on services in rural areas, in urban areas. So we really need to tackle this problem. And there is an opportunity. Demand for food in Africa is growing significantly. This creates opportunities not just in production, but also in the processing, the aggregation, the distribution of food, each of which requires employment. And there are particular opportunities for youth. FAO has been supporting a number of initiatives in African countries. One of these is the program for youth employment in Nigeria, the Agripreneur program, which is essentially equipping graduated youth to become more involved in agribusiness. And this is likely to benefit about 18,500 youth. We can also look at how we can create the facility for youth to get more engaged in these issues of processing, transportation, logistics, by providing new skills, by providing access to credit. But there we have to be careful, because for lenders, youth are not necessarily the most reliable clientele. They're young, they're less experienced, they don't have access to collateral. So we need more innovative solutions. And one which FAO has been pursuing is the link between training programs for youth and the provision of credit. Lenders are more prepared to provide credit to youth if they know that they've been trained in certain aspects, and they're likely to use that training to put to good use in developing agribusiness.
Clayton, the access to land and natural resources is also putting some pressure on the environmental conditions that are conducive to more agribusiness or agriculture by the youth. How do you think FAO can help improve those challenges, and how can we improve the way we're doing business now for the youth?
For the youth, I think this is a huge opportunity for their employment in the rural activities, rural areas. If we look at the agriculture, for instance, it's still very important for Africa in general, for income generation for still many people. So if you consider that there are currently 200 million young people aged between 14 and 25 years in Africa, so we see the challenge that we have to employ all these people. Agricultural production is a way of doing that, but has to be done in a different way. It has to become more attractive. It has not supposed to be a traditional agriculture. You know, going back to tradition and so on, has to be intensified. It has to be more attractive in terms of technologies, mechanization, information, communication technologies, and so on. And to do that, of course, there is a need for skills development. The idea is that the young people, they become entrepreneurs in the rural area so that they can run agricultural production in a different way, linking their activities to the market, so they become also traders in a good way, so they know how to do business. I think this is something very important for young people, and the FAO can support that. Of course, there are some conditions for that. access to land. Sometimes they don't have access to land. So this is something that needs to be considered. Also, access to credit, as Jamie has already mentioned, access to credit is something crucial for agriculture production and to decrease risks. And another important point is also where FAO can help, is how to better engage young people in the decision-making process. So they need to participate somehow. They need to have their role very well recognized in the decision-making process at the policy level, at the governance mechanism, so this new stakeholder, multi-stakeholder approaches and so on. I think they can play a very important role in bringing innovative issues to the rural areas, considering not only agricultural production, but also activities aggregated to the rural areas. For instance, natural resources contemplation. So they can offer this type of activities for tourists, for people that can come and have interest in visiting the rural areas. Agritourism is another issue that they can put in the rural areas to add value to agricultural production. Trials, sports activities, and so on. So there are many, many opportunities beyond agricultural production that can be added to agricultural production. So that's why I believe that the young, the youth, they have a huge opportunities there to be in the rural areas, to become successful, to have enough income, to be really entrepreneurs and be the main actors to change the way that the rural areas are in Africa as a whole.
Question on the section of gender, but women also.
Yeah, gender is high on the cross-cutting initiatives. How sufficiently is gender integrated, particularly in the woman factor, to address one food security at the subsistence level or at home or in the community? What would it take to upscale their integration into the market at the country level?
Jamie?
Yeah, perhaps I could take the second part of the question, which is developments in marketing systems, in agricultural and food value chains has often been criticized for excluding vulnerable groups, particularly women. But there are many things that we can do to make sure that women benefit equally from the opportunities that these new developments in food systems create. And FAO, just to give one example, FAO is currently supporting greater participation of women in a number of value chains ranging from roots and tubers, fisheries, horticulture, dairy, in several African countries, including Ghana, through a Swedish development cooperation project. And this basically has three elements. There's one which looks at strengthening the capacities of the women themselves, so providing training in managerial aspects, how to conduct businesses, providing technological solutions which are more appropriate to the needs of women, perhaps technologies which deal with smaller quantities of certain types of products, and also the provision of equipment to assist in adding value. The second component looks at strengthening the institutions and policies which affect the extent to which women can participate in chains, in value chains. This may, for example, mean improving advisory services. So thinking more broadly about the types of advice that women in particular need in order to allow them to participate in different activities along the value chain, whether it be in processing, whether it be in trading. Cross-border trade by women is a significant activity in African countries, but it's often informal trade and it's often a very risky and dangerous occupation. So how can we create the environment in which women can trade across borders more safely and more beneficially to themselves? And a third area where FAO has been providing assistance is in developing knowledge on best practice in regard to assisting women to participate in these marketing opportunities. FAO has wide experience across many countries and many regions and can draw that together to provide advice to our member countries as to how they can help women to participate and to benefit more equally from these opportunities.
Clinton, why is it that we have difficulty advancing in that sector, of making women more advanced in the agricultural sector as a whole, in policy, in women's organizations, in integration into markets? What is it that we don't know how to do?
Well, actually, FAO is doing a lot now in terms of gender equality, looking at how to better integrate women in the food systems as a whole, not only in agricultural production. But I'm talking about, I'm going to talk about agricultural production particularly. There are in SO2, in this strategic program on sustainable agriculture, a particular emphasis on women employment, women improvement in terms of how to better provide land assessment, credit, mechanization, new technologies, practices, so that they can be more competitive. Because it's not just a matter of subsistence, not to produce for self-consumption. As Jamie mentioned, so we need to prepare women to have better access to market and to run business. So it's very similar to what we should do with the youth. So women today in Africa, they run many agricultural production fields, 40-45% in agriculture. It's very, very high, so they cannot be left behind. So now FAO is paying too much more attention to women in agriculture. So one of the tools that FAO is using very broadly now to train women and to promote access to practices and technology, sustainability and so on for women's farm field schools. So it's something that was previously used for integrated pest management, and now has farm field schools have been expanded to make available more sustainable practices. So women are a key public for those farm field school initiatives and so on. I think this is something to be considered, and also in our new strategic framework, gender is at a high level there in terms of indicators and follow-up and how we are actually contributing at the different levels for gender improvement in terms of capacity, in terms of policies and so on.
I would like to ask one question to Jamie, though. We have seen this FTT facility, Charoy oven to dry fish that is spreading in Cote d'Ivoire, in Angola, to help women dry fish and sell. But still today, they are still at the street level. How can we really upscale this new activity with new technology up to the point where women can have a real consistent income and be part of the market? What is it that is missing to get there?
Yes, this is important because when you look at a market, it's not just one place where you sell your product. There are many market segments, as we call them, which each provide different prices to different qualities of products. And one of the difficulties that women in this case have had is in being able to supply a consistent quality at the volumes that are required by what we might call the higher value segments, the supermarket chains, for example, which may sell this product or product which is similar, but which is sourcing often from abroad, because it's available in a consistent manner at the quality needed and at the price needed. But women, as with many vulnerable groups are often unable to access these segments of the market. So one aspect that can be considered is how we provide the opportunity for women to work together to aggregate that product. So from that point of view, they would then be able to supply the market with a consistent supply. The other aspect which needs to be worked on is in convincing the buyer that the quality of the product is also consistent, that there aren't going to be any incidences of food safety difficulties which would have a knock-on effect for the end retailer. And so, yeah, working with the producer, the fisherwoman in this case, or the woman transforming the fish, and also working with the buyer to build that confidence is very important.
But Clayton, one of these conditions is to make agriculture production intensive and sustainable. Isn't that correct? So how do you make that chain links up to that stage? How do you make the agriculture for these women intensive and sustainable and durable and stable?
They need not only more training, capacity building, but also they need to have access to new technologies. So the way they do, they put a lot of effort, too much labor. So they need to, somehow FAO needs to help them to alleviate their hard work, let's say, with new technologies, new practices, and more adapted seeds and practices. And overall, I think this is the main challenge.
Bruce, sustainability is also about?
Yeah, another question borders on the MDG, SDGs. Seven African countries have so far achieved the MDG goal of halving extreme poverty. How would FAO assist MDG awarded countries to ensure that the feat achieved is not eroded, not transiting from the MDGs to the SDGs? In other words, keeping up the efforts towards resilience and sustainable food security and nutrition. Any of you can?
I can start now.
Yeah.
Yes, I think now the challenge is on this transition to the MDGs to SDGs, and the main difference is that the MDGs were led by the UN system, and now the SDGs are led by the countries. So the countries will decide on where they want to put more emphasis on. So their priorities, they will decide on that. And I think this is a key point. And the role of FAO is to inform the countries, to work together, to build the right approaches. I think that's the main role of FAO. So what are the countries supposed to do in regard to, for instance, resilience and sustainable food security and nutrition, or more sustainability, or more sustainable food systems? And this is one of the role that we can play in terms of putting together food security, ending hunger, improving nutrition, improving sustainable agriculture, and then to taking care of climate change adaptation and mitigation, taking care of water management, water conservation, taking care of marine aquatic organisms and so on, also desertification, soil degradation, land degradation, water pollution and so on. So all these issues should consider now together. So it's much more challenging for the countries to implement the SDGs, and they are all committed to do that. And FAO actually has a very important role, of course, in a different levels, at different levels for the different SDGs. But we are now working on which sustainable development goals we should give more attention to. Because FAO is responsible for many of those indicators that countries will have to follow, to monitor and report the results. And in that sense, I think we the way we are looking at, you know, production systems and food systems in a more integrated way can be very helpful for countries to look at how they need to change the policies, how to need to change the governance mechanisms, how they need to change the way they are doing, and what are the new challenges so that they can actually succeed in terms of implementation of the SDGs.
In very critical, in very concrete terms, you're heading from here to Rwanda to have a workshop there on this topic, actually. How has Rwanda responded? Rwanda is known now as one of the most advanced countries in terms of the CADEP and the NDGs, now going into NDGs, SDGs. How has that story with Rwanda started?
Yeah, actually, the idea was to select 1 to 3 countries to implement the principles of sustainable food and agriculture, the 5 principles of sustainability. That, of course, is beyond the production. And Rwanda and the government, actually, they identify that they need to produce more in agriculture, so they need to intensify agriculture production, but on the other hand, they also need to conserve and manage better the natural resources. So they have a program to recover 2 million of degraded land with forests. So that's why. So this is behind the principles of sustainability to better integrate the different sectors of agriculture. So this is a clear example of integration of crop production with natural resources management. And also a very good experience there in working together with the Minister of Agriculture and Animal Resources, with the Minister of Natural Resources. So this has been very successful. That's the way to go about sustainability issues. So multi-stakeholder approach, a multi-ministerial approach, a cross-sectoral approach to look all the components of not only production but also natural resource management, including social issues, value chain, social inclusion, and so on and so forth. So many issues behind that. So the idea of the workshop then is to share the experience of Rwanda with the other 8 countries of the regional initiative in Africa. And of course to learn from the Rwanda's experience and how the countries can use Rwanda as an example for them, not only to look at how they are doing, they are managing the process, but how they have been selected, and how they have selected the priorities and so on. So I think this is a good way to do that. So they establish a roadmap. Now they are implementing these principles of sustainability in a specific district there called Rulindo. And I think this is a good way of working and sharing experience, and we need to do more that on Africa, to share more the successful experiences, to upscale them also in other countries. Of course, this is a very adaptive process, very flexible process. There is not a full package. Okay, to be sustainable, you need to do and follow all these steps. But the countries have to develop their own priorities and have to develop their own roadmap so that they can better implement sustainable agriculture and food systems.
Jamie, what are your expectations from the Kigali workshop, and do you see major constraints in order to reach out to those goals and principles?
Okay, I think in terms of expectations, as FAO we have components of work in different countries but not necessarily connected. And I think by learning from each other across the 9 countries under the regional initiative, we can see where we can add value by adding another component. I mean, for example, if we're working on the development of a new technology in one country, but we're not really thinking about how to improve access to market, for the production which is developed as a result of that improved technology. But in another country, we're working on the market developments and not linking to the production. We can learn a lot by sharing lessons and experience across the countries and really try to identify a way of bringing these different components together. But I think, you know, for me, in terms of the SDGs, and Clayton's already referred to this, the fact that the SDGs are led by countries, whereas the MDGs weren't. The real challenge for countries is to dramatically improve levels of coordination and collaboration between government ministries and institutions, between public sector and the private sector, between both of those and civil society, to ensure that objectives are aligned within the country and that we have a coherent set of policies which is likely to result in the achievement of, or contribute at least to the achievement of, the SDGs. And I think this is particularly in the case of agriculture and food systems in the context of the SDGs, because developments in these systems are critical to so many of the SDGs. I mean, whether it's in terms of the extent to which food and nutrition insecurity can be eliminated, whether it's in the case of expanding employment opportunities to reduce poverty, whether it's in the case of reducing the pressure on the natural resource environment, whether it's the case of contributing to sustainable cities by ensuring that the urban poor have access to nutritious and diverse foods. In every dimension of the Sustainable Development Goals, how these systems evolve is going to be critical. And we need to work across FAO and across the strategic programs to really help countries to coordinate their actions to have the best effect. And to give one example, if we look at the collaboration between ministries of agriculture and ministries of commerce, in many countries there's very little interaction. Yet the way in which trade policy is formulated has significant impacts on agriculture sector development. For example, it can create new export opportunities in neighbouring countries in the region or further aside. But if we get the wrong export policy in place, those opportunities won't arise. On the import side, it can determine the extent to which imports disrupt or otherwise local production. Yet, when we talk about these issues of trade policy, the agriculture ministry is very, very rarely involved. And vice versa, when we talk about agriculture sector development, issues of what we do with the products and how we market it are also often ignored. So what we've initiated in two of the focus countries under the regional initiative in Zambia and Mozambique is a capacity development program where we try to bring officials both in the ministries of agriculture and the ministries of trade to a common understanding so that they can assess together the implications of changing a trade policy and ensure that's to the benefit of both ministries and both of the sets of objectives that they've been mandated to achieve.
Very last questions from me. What would be the value if I would be a woman farmer selling eggs to a 5-star hotel while my household still needs more food and children have to go to schools? And what would we gain in that? Yeah. How can you rebalance that?
Exactly. No, this is a critical question, because in many countries in Africa, the agriculture sector is still characterized by small family farmers whose key objective often is to provide food for their own families. So there's already a trade-off between producing to feed the family or producing to sell to generate income. And what we find is that it's not a simple question of, okay, we'll retain this amount and we'll sell this amount, but it's a question which involves what types of practices and technologies do we use in order to produce the product. Cassava is one example of a crop which has different characteristics. Traditional varieties tend to have very good storage characteristics and perhaps taste better, have different taste characteristics. more modern varieties certainly increase the level of production which is required to produce a consistent supply, but may not have the same storage, on-farm storage capacities or the same taste attributes. And so there's a trade-off there already, which is constraining the adoption of more modern varieties which are required for commercialization. And we need a much better understanding of the decision-making processes of different households. And it's, we say family farmers, but one family farmer is not the same as the next family farmer. They have different access to assets, different levels of education, different household needs, different opportunities. And so when we design policy in support of the processes of commercialization, we really need to get to grips with what affects the decisions that these family household heads, particularly women family household heads, are having to make.
Okay, Daniel, have the last word. Any message you want to get across?
Yeah, I think now the challenge and the opportunity is how to produce more with less and how to better engage women in a more sustainable agriculture, in a more generating income agriculture, and also how to raise the opportunities for the youth to become the key actors of changing in agriculture production in Africa.
Thank you very much, everybody.